L'chaim, l'chaim, yidu. A good Erev Shabbos, a good Erev Shabbos. First of all, big Yashar Koach. Mikey, for opening up your home, that's Hashem. This is, Chazaka yet?
It's Chazaka.
Hashem. It's a big schus. It's mamash a gavaldig schus to open your home for bringing the COVID v'heilige kamarna schus yagin alena v'akol Yisrael.
Amen.
It's Hashem. You should only be zeicha because of that. The shefa brach v'atzlach ad b'lidai.
Amen.
Mamash ad b'lidai. We should be zeicha all of us, but zeicha klal Yisrael to only see Yeshuas and Echamas and the gula shleima v'amitis v'kar of mamash.
Amen.
Fushlam. He's not sick, so it's fine.
He's totally fine.
All right, so Lamaisa, I have a little bit of a trepidation. Bechlal, getting together for the Kamaran is a little bit of a pachad, but Befrat, the Torah that I want to share with you, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. But V'hurachum Yichab Ravim. Hopefully this should be L'Shem Shemaim, and yeah. So, worst case scenario, you'll get a few stories. That's the worst case scenario. Alright, so, mine's like this. The last Sefer that the Kamarna wrote, that the Kamarna completed, was the Sefer that he wrote, Zohar Chai. It's a Pirush on the Zohar Kodesh. Now, there's a mice about the last Torah that he wrote. So, it was a few days before his Nistalkus. And it's interesting about the Sefer Zohar Chai, like, he started and stopped a number of times throughout his life. He started it, I think, when he was 26. He wrote, like, maybe a few pages and stopped for, like, 20 years, you know? Like, a few times he started up again until finally he completed it. The mice is like this. There was a tkufa where he was sick, so he wasn't able to write. And then one day, a few days before his Estalkus, he found the strength to continue writing. So he called the gabbai. He asked his shamash or his gabbai, whatever it is, to bring over the ksavim. So the gabbai was on his way bringing the ksavim, and the kamarna mentioned to him, "Do you have a pen?" It's like I was saying, I forgot to get a pen. So the gabbai turned around and came back a few minutes with a pen. And the rebbe said, "But do you have the ksavim?" He's like, I put it down, I forgot. And he went back to go get it, and he forgot where he put it. So it took like a few minutes for him to remember where he put the ksavim when he went to go get the pen that he forgot to bring. So all of this, the kamarna saw as a siman hashamayim, like, that the last Torah that he already wrote, that was the last Torah. So what was the last Torah in Zohar Chai that he wrote, that he saw from this whole maisa, like the gabbai first forgetting the pen and then forgetting where he put the ksavim? So the Kamarna again saw from that it's Simon HaShemayim, that the Sefer is complete. What's the last Torah? So the last Torah is in Parshas Veschanan. Parshas Veschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about how he's davening to get to Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem responds to him, Ravloch. Don't daven anymore, Ravloch. It's enough. So what does it mean, Ravloch? So this is the piece of the Zohar that the Zohar Chai, the Pirush of Kamarna, ends with. The Zohar Kodesh brings two interpretations of what that means, Ravloch, seemingly opposite from each other. The first interpretation is, the Zohar says, that the reason why Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, is because by Hashem telling Moshe that, this is actually showing how great and how expansive the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu is. The Zohar says that Moshe Rabbeinu was being revealed at that moment of Rav Loch, is that you're bigger than Eretz Yisrael. As you going to Eretz Yisrael would be minimizing your malchus. Your malchus is much bigger than that. Rav Loch. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation the Zohar says is seemingly the opposite. The Zohar says that in the light of the sun, the moon can't shine. So says the Zohar, since it's time for the moon to shine, which is Yeshua Benon, it's compared to the moon, so in Mail, the sun has to be removed. And that's why, Rav Loch, in other words, you've had your time, and now we have to remove the sun, which is Moshe, to make space for the moon. That's the Zohar. Seemingly the opposite. The first pshat is saying about how this is a pasuk that's like sort of blowing the roof off of the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, that it's mamish, unbelievably expansive. The second shot is saying Moshe Rabbeinu should remove himself and go to the corner, sort of like constricting Moshe Rabbeinu's malchus. Two opposite vertlach from the Zohar Kodesh, that's the last Torah in Zohar Chai. No, with Bashkocha Pratis, that's the last Torah that the Kamar never wrote and never revealed. So, Halei Dover Hu. Number one. Number two, the Kamarna's Rebbetzin was was mishpacha with the chayzev ublin. So I'm going to take all of this as a sign that we should continue. All right. Anyway, so his wife was a mishpacha for the chayzev. So the ma'aseh goes that because they were mishpacha, so by the tanoim, the chayza was the one that read the tanoim. So the ma'aseh goes that when he started reading the tanoim, ma'agin reishis achris, so he paused, and he said, interesting, eli akayin, interesting. No one was talking about. And he continued on. Who's eli akayin? So eli akayin was the rebbe of Shmuel Hanavi. Eliakon was the last of the Shoftim. Maisha Kibotar Messina Mesarli Yeshua. Yeshua is a Canaan. His Canaan went from Yeshua Benon all the way till Eliakon. He was the last of the Zakanim, last of the Shoftim. And from him, it goes into the Nevi'im, that's Shmuel HaNavi. So the Chayza said, interesting, Eliakon. Now it happens to be years and years later when the Kamarna was Nifter, this yard site is the 10th of year. This past day, the 10th of year, is the Yartzeit of Eli Akayin. So the Chayza saw such a thing. It's interesting, we do find a lot of connections between the Kamarna and Kahanim, especially Kahanu Gedoyim. A lot of his Svarim are written on in Yonei Mikdash and Yonei Karbonis, with the names that are Shaykh to Kahuna. He said about himself that his three names, Yitzchak, Yehuda, Yechiel, the three Yuds of Yitzchak, Yehuda, and Yechiel, correspond to the three Yuds of Yerech Hashem, Yishmerecha, Yor Hashem, and Yisa Hashem, of Birchus Kahanim. So, from that Meiser, from the Chayzi, you take a see that there's some, clearly there's some connection between the Kamaran on some level and Eli HaKoyim. The Kamaran himself talked a lot about his own Neshama, that is connected to the Ari HaKadosh, and the Baal Shem, and the Vilna Gaon, and other Tanayim and Amaroyim. But there's a Chiddush from the Chayzi. The Chayzi saw this, that was by, that's Eli HaKoyim. And he revealed the Dafka by the Tanayim of the Kamaran. All this needs explanation. Okay, so this is where I hope I'm allowed to say this. Let's talk about Eli HaKoyin a little bit. We'll give a little bit of the background of who he was, just the story in Tanakh. Furach and Chabravin, hopefully. Okay, so Eli HaKoyin, as I said, was the last of the Shoftim. He was the Rebbe of Shmuel HaNavi. He was the last Kohen Gadol of Mishkan Shiloh. Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Mishkan in the Midbar, right? Yeshua Benun brings it into Eretz Yisrael. It travels from place to place, eventually settling in Shiloh. Shiloh, it becomes a little bit more solid. It's still a Mishkan, still transient, but it's a little bit more solid. The walls were made of stone. The roof was still material, was still, and some of the materials of the Mishkan. But that's Mishkan Shiloh. The last Kohen Gadol of Mishkan Shiloh was Eli HaKoyin. What's the Maisa? Eli HaKoyin had two sons, Chofni and Pinchas. Chofni and Pinchas. Eli HaKoyin hoped that his two sons would take over leadership after him. Didn't work out like that. What happened to Chofni and Pinchas? So if you read Sefer Shmuel tells us, and the Gemara Neumann interprets it like this, the Gemara says that Chofni, the Pesukim tell us that Chofni and Pinchas committed two averus. And Eli knew about it, and didn't rebuke them, and didn't stop them to the degree that he was supposed to, on his madrega. What were the two averus of Chofni and Pinchas? So the Pasuk says, one Aver was Bizoi Kodshim, that they had a certain Anhaga that was a little bit not respectful to Karbonis. What was their Anhaga? So the Halach is that by Karbonis, not every Karbon, but many Karbonis, is a certain amount that's given to the Kohen. That's standard. Standard, a certain amount. Not only, that's on number one. And number two, when the Kohen receives it, the Kohen should take it after the Mizbeach gets its portion. So whatever the Karbon is, certain parts of it are burnt on the Mizbeach. And then after the parts are burnt in the Mizbeach, then the Kohen should take his portion. Al Pidin, that's how Kohanim, when the Kohanim eat from the Korban, it's Mishulchan Gevoy Kazoch, the Gemara says. They're receiving it from Hashem's table. So first Hashem has given to establish the Korban as Mishulchan Hashem, and then the Kohanim should be Zaychit. So they have only a certain amount, a certain, Chaz V'Shaik, whatever the Korban is, a certain amount of parts of the Korban that they're given, and they should receive it after the Mizbeach gets its portion first. Chofni and Pinchas violated that. Chofni and Pinchas, first of all, would take their portion before the Imurim, before the Mizbeach got its part. So that was disgrace number one. Disgrace number two was that they had an inyan. They would send. They wouldn't even do it themselves. They would send one of their misharsim to go with a pitchfork, with a big fork. And their hanaga was, besides the regular portion of kanuga, they would have extra taxes. They would do is they would have, whatever the type of carbon it was, they would take this fork, they would just stick it into the big pot or whatever it is that was burning that was cooking the meats. Whatever came up, that was to the kanims also. And the pasuk describes that the Bailim would come and complain and say, you know, this is not right. Or even when they tried to take the stuff first, the Bailim would say, let the Mizbech get it first. But these were the two things that the Chavni Pinchas did. It was considered Bizoy Kachin. That's Avera number one. Avera number two is that they shtered Shalom Bayis. How they shtered Shalom Bayis? So the pasuk describes in a very strong, like a very strong offense. Chazal explained it that it's not as bad as what the pasuk describes it. But the Chazal said the Chavni Pinchas made the mistake that when women would come to bring karbanis after they gave birth. So nowadays there's no karbanis, but in the times of Beis Mikdash, the women would bring a yeledes, would bring a karban, and then she was mutter to her husband. So Chavni and Pinchas did not bring those karbanis bizrizes as much as they should have, thus delaying a yichah between chasen and kala, shtering shalom bayis. That was the second event that they did. Eliyah Kain knew about this, and instead of giving the rebuke that he should, he sort of let it go on his madrega. Because of that, so they were all punished. And this is what it says in Sefer Shmuel. The Maisa goes again. I'm sorry to be marked, but it's hopefully it's good for good things. So the pasuk tells us that the Pelishtim, this is the Maisa of how Eli and his family were punished. The Pelishtim attacked Klal Yisrael, and the Klal Yisrael were fighting against the Pelishtim. And at this time, they had an Ein Fal. What was the Ein Fal? Let's bring the Aron to battle. Let's take the Aron out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim for Mishkan Shiloh, and we'll take it to battle. And so they do that. Long story short, they lose the battle, and the Aron is captured. The Aron is captured. Now, Chazal say, even though the Aron was captured, Shaul HaMelech was not the Melech yet. At this time, he was still a young man. But Shaul was young, and he was somehow able to, he was very strong, and you know, he was eventually Shaul HaMelech. He eventually somehow gets there, and he wrestles the Luchais al-Koponim out of the hands of Golias. Golias was also young at the time. All these characters, you know, all these people come back later on in Sefer Shmuel. But Golias somehow got his hands on the Luchais from within the Aron. And that Shaul HaMelech wrestled back and brought it back to Eli. And he comes back to Eli, and Eli asks him, what's going on? So he says that your two sons were killed in battle, and the Aron was captured. These are the Luchas, but the Aron was captured. At that moment, from shock, from the hearing about that, what happens? The Pasuk says that Eli fell backwards off his chair, and Nebuch broke his neck, and that's how he was killed. And that was the end of Eli, and that's the end of his family, and that's the end of Mishkan Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh was basically destroyed from that. And the next time we have the Aron in his place, that's based in Mikdash. That's the Maisa. So what's going on over here? And this is all, let's understand. There's a klal by Rav Tzadik. Whatever is in the children is in the father in a more subtle way. So, if we're allowed to say, if the whatever the chataim of Chafni and Pinchas were, these two averas of Bizoy Kodshim, and Shtering Shalom Bayis, in Chafni and Pinchas' life, it emerged in a very strong way, in an obvious way. But everything that's in the father, that's in the child, is in the father more subtly. If this is what emerged in Chafni and Pinchas, then maybe one can suggest that it was somehow subtly found in Eli as well. If the Kamarna is an inyan of Eli, and by the way, it's interesting that this was Nizgala Davka by the Tanoim of the Kamarna, which is part of, we'll see soon, part of that chait of Shalom Bayis, or Shering Shalom Bayis. Agav, the son of the Kamarna, said that of all the Ruach HaKadosh of his father, the one area that he had a gili of Ruach HaKadosh, Ein L'Shayer, that it was never held back at all, was in the Erev Shaduchim. A person would give him a name, and of a chassan, he would tell you immediately what the name of the kala is, and how, you know, all the pratim, vice versa. The love of Ruach HaKadosh. So if these two averis were somehow in Chafni and Pinchas in a bepoil, then it must be that it was Bekayach in Eli. And whenever things move backwards from bepoil into Bekayach, bepoil things could emerge in twos and threes and fours, many numbers. Bekayach is always, it's like a seed, right? So you have a tree that has 1,000 leaves, but in the seed, it's only one seed. So when you have these two averes of Bizei Kodesh and Shnering Shalom Bayis, as they are rooted in the seed of that, in Eli as the father, so it's really just one nekuda. It's just one nekuda. And maybe perhaps one can say that one nekuda becomes perfected and clarified tak in the life of the Kamarna. That's what's interesting, by the way. Part of the issue with Eli HaKohen was that he wanted the Hanhaga to go to his children. And that's maybe perhaps a little bit of why he didn't give them enough rebuke, because he had a netiyah to that, because he wanted them to take over. By the Kamarna, we find interesting that the day of his Estalkus, he was in Estalk on Shabbos, I think. So just a little bit before his Estalkus, he called over his son, Sender, and he with a big smile on his face, and he called over his son and he said, "It's mamish, ashreinu and ashrei chalkeinu, that I'm going to be zeicha to see how you are going to be able to be my ma'al makam, that you're going to be able to take over for me." And he said, and it's amazing because it's brought down that his wife was there. His wife is crying because he's dying. He's saying that he's dying. But and he turned to his verse. He said, "There's nothing to be upset about. This is mamash gevaldik geschus, and we can see our own son take over after us." And he said that he asked his son to take off from him, from the Kamarna, his white bekesha that he was wearing on Shabbos. And he says, "Take it off of me and put it onto you. I want to be able to see you with my eyes wearing my big day loving of Shabbos." And he said, "For the rest of your life, always make sure." He says, "Even if you're traveling somewhere for Shabbos and at home, always wear white because you're my mamala makim." See, it's an interesting thing. So by Eli HaKohen, part of the issue was that he wanted his children to go to be mamshech, but it wasn't meant to be, and that was a little bit maybe causing a little bit of the issue. By the Kamarna, that maybe was a tikkun of that. So Adrabi, he sees his child as the mamal makam of himself. Okay, so what is these two averes of Bizei Kodesh and Shtering Shalom Bayis? What is its root in Eli HaKohen, and where does the Kamarna fix that? Okay, so let me share with you a little bit from what we find in the Kamarna. This is in the Siv Mitzvaysecha, in the Siv Emuna. Sorry it's late, but it's Kedai. I think it's Kedai. So he says like this. Yeah. So he says like this. Kalola Demilsa. This is in the Siv HaYichud. Shvil Rish in the Siv HaYichud. The Kamarna is talking about the Indian of Pnimis HaTorah, learning Kabbalah. It's the biggest site by the Kamar. We've mentioned this all the time. By the Kamar and by his base medrash, Kabbalah Kisvi Ari was mamish out in the open, and there was a big avoid of connecting it to Chassidus. So he says like this: Klola de Milsa, Klola de Milsa. The klal is as follows: Kamoy she'ein saif baruch hu baruch shema yidu alanu mitziusai avaloi muhusa bein ponim. Just like the Rabbanu Shloim, when he revealed himself in the infinite light of creation before creation. We know such a thing exists, but we don't know what it is. Yidulanu mitziusa, we know the mitzias of Ein Sof. Avaloi mahusa bein panim, but we don't know the mahus. We don't understand what it means. We can say the words. Kain kol dark yasfiris. So too, all the limud of Kabbalah, which is after the constriction, so there's no Ein Sof that we're talking about. We're talking about spheres and partsufim and oilemis. All these words that the Mekubalim use, nimtzoim bevadai. All we can say is that these things exist. Spheres, partsufim, mitzias and elam. But v'loy yadu'alanu muhusam be'in panim. We have no idea what it means. We have no idea what it means. And the Kamarna goes on to talk about this bariches, that it's an impossibility to know what these things mean. Now, the Kamarna explains, ein sham lay marav lay gavin, there's no colors, there's no clear, it's not physical. V'loy musag lanu shum derech musan chalila v'chalila. Now, the Kamarna explains, and let me explain the oimek of where this is coming from. There's a big yisoid, and the Kamarna says like this. Eser Sphere, says the Kamarna, all the infrastructure of the spiritual world that the Mekubalim are learning about, the kol rega verega, every single moment, choizim lebechinas ain't saif. Says the Kamarna, the core principle of Amun is to believe that all the entire infrastructure of the Olam HaSalyan, of the higher world, is constantly still a part of that universe, of that reality that's called infinite God himself. And they're unified with that Madrega Vein Sof, down to that Madrega Vein Sof, completely nullified to that Madrega Vein Sof. Nimsa Ela Madrega Ein Sof. To the point of where in truth all there is Ein Sof. Achtus Yochid Umiyuchad. Veim Chayzer Mamish Ein Sof. It's constantly, the worlds are constantly returning to that Madrega Vein Sof. Ella Shalarkenu, but rather from our perspective, Nikroyim, Netzalim, Atik, Zoyer, Kyoitse, all the Lashonis that we have to describe the somethingness that we can use, that we could articulate, that's only from our side, it's only from our perspective. But those things that we are describing, as true as they are, they're constantly returning and becoming nullified and reflective of Ein Sof itself. Says the Kamarna, because of this, what comes out is an amazing secret, which is that despite the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom made the universes in such a way that there's language that we can use to describe things. You could talk about Atzilus, you could talk about Bria, you could talk about Zerampin and Nukvin, you could talk about Abavim, you could talk about these parts of him, and you could have an entire language to describe the dynamics between the parts of him, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. But says the Kamarna, but the mitzias of these partsufim are just ways in which the Rabbanu Shloilam allows us entrance into that space that's called Ein Sof, which is indescribable and ununderstandable. Which means that therefore these structures that the Rabbanu Shloilam created, which is what the Mekubalim study, are themselves something that can never be understood. Because their entire mitzias is nothing more than a way in which Ein Sof becomes a little bit more accessible to us. And the language that we, these things, the partsuf and v'chulu, they themselves are deeply bound to Ein Sof. They only take on some sort of measure and some sort of articulation, only mitzidenu from our perspective. Therefore, says the Kamarna, fundamentally, the study of Kabbalah is studying something that you cannot understand fundamentally. Because what you're studying, which are Partsufim and Oilemis and so on, are things, are realities that are deeply bound to Ein Sof and are still considered Ein Sof. They only have a language and a particular quality, Mitzidenu, from our perspective. And he goes on to say like this, there's no way, we don't have any ability to understand at all what the muhus of these inyanim are, because the reality of what these parts of Manoilamis are that Kabbalah is studying is nothing. They themselves are still rooted in Ein Sof, and they're vehicles for Ein Sof. Klalei shel davar, the klal is that at the end of the day, lo yusag lanu shum hasoga b'drachav lo minev lo miktsase. Oh. So says the Kamarna, v'im yishalach achi, so if you're going to ask me a question, achrei she'en anachnu masigim achar limud, if after studying Pnimis HaTorah for your entire life and for lifetimes, you will never be masik at all, el tachas idea shloi neida, the whole conclusion that you could ever come up with is that I have no idea what I'm talking about, and we have no way of being masig the thing itself of what it is that we're studying. So all the limud of the spheres, we're talking about things that we don't understand, we cannot understand, and there's never ever a way to be able to understand them. So why should we put in so much effort to study them? Why should we do this? So he says like this. Says the Kamarna, and this is the aside. I will ikr teit achi, my brother, you should know. She ikr limud zed nizgal bezman hazeh b'kol kach b'iris v'arvis pashtas. The answer is, the only reason why the Rabbanu Shalom revealed these secrets of Torah is for one purpose and one purpose only, which is only to allow this finite world to be deeply connected to the infinite space that it comes from. That's the only purpose. And to allow us to be able to be makasha ourselves with elikus, for the purposes of cleaning our neshamas out from all the tumah, and to experience some level of awe and some attachment to elikus, that's the tachlis. I mean, the purpose of limud of Pnimis HaTorah is for one thing only, which is dveikus and achdus, to be misyachit, to yichud kutshabiru shchinte, to be able to unite this physical world, this finite world, which is shchinte, with that which is Ein Sof, which is called Kudshei Brichu. That's the Tachlis. And on all levels, that's the only purpose of learning Pnimis HaTorah, because the study of Pnimis HaTorah is nothing more than a language the Rabbanu Shloilam and a reality the Rabbanu Shloilam created, which is still deeply Ein Sof, and it's just enough of something that the seichel can wrap its head around to just create that contact. That's all that it is. Any more hasaga, any more, if the Rabbanu Shlomo allowed the infrastructure of Kabbalah to be that much more understood, it wouldn't be able to function as a vessel for Ein Sof. It would be too much finite. If it would be at all less understood, it would be too much drawn to that which is infinite, and we wouldn't have any shaychus to it. The perfect measure of understanding and not understanding, of being able to talk about spheres and so on, but not chopping at all what we're talking about, is the perfect balance between to create a reality in which it's still rooted in Ein Sof, but just enough coming into our world of finite to allow us contact with that which is Ein Sof. And what does that result in? So this is what the Kamarna says, that the purpose of this study then is therefore taking the world which is finite and which was coarse and disconnected, which is called the Shechina, and uniting it with that which is infinite, and that which is Ein Sof, that's called Kudshei Richu. And he goes on to say like this, and he says, V'oid, and in order to allow a person, and he says like this, by studying these things, not only are you causing this in all the worlds, and you're changing the world to become a place which is finite, but in that finite space of this world, it's unified with its infinite origin. But that happens within you, says the Kamarna. It happens within you. And then you, a finite person with your own particular midas and your own particular limitations, become someone that's able to be zeicher to serve the Rabbanu Shlomo miroiv kol, from mamish a space of harchavas hadas, begoydel or hameir alecha, through the great light that is descending upon you, be'eis limud sefer hazoyer, by learning zohar kadosh and so on, shemamish hashchina shari alecha v'akadosh baruch hu meir alecha, the shchina with kudshei brichu is shining upon you be'or v'chias ubelvad shetilucha achna emes, as long as you're humble. As long as you allow yourself to be humble, because this is the ikar key that the Kamarna talks about, is that to go into this process, you have to go in with an unbelievable humility, recognizing that the entirety of what you're studying is for one singular purpose, which is to be makashi yourself to something that you'll never understand. But the result of that, when you allow, but using that, having that humility of entering into that avaida, the result is that then in your finite space, you become completely filled with that which is infinite. And all of a sudden, the noyam, ziv ha'elyon, the mesikus, all the pleasantness and the light of elikus, which is beyond your reach, and you'll never be able to articulate what it is, fills your life. And the Kamarna goes on to say, and he says, an amazing zach, this is classic Kamarna, oit shetizkai de limud zeh, you'll also be zeicha through this learning, lias ofer ve'efer. You enter into it with bittel, and the experience of learning Kabbalah, which is makasha you to ain't soif, nullifies you even more, and you'll be zeichet to become nothing. Lizbo, Yisurim, the Chirufim, the Dishas Okev, you'll be zeichet to tolerate pain and embarrassment and being stepped on. Shetia Beinecha Ka Askoifa Tachtoina Shal Kol Doshin Alecha, that you'll be zeichet to one day be the threshold that everyone steps on. Vashem Yisbrach Yazu Lecha, and the Rabbanu Shlomo will give you Siyat Deshvai, Barachavis Amoichin Shal Kedusha, that in that shiftless, in that nothingness, in that nothingness, in that hiskashrus, that which is Ein Sof, you'll find Harchavas Hadas. So it's like, I'm nothing, I'm completely bottled to Ein Sof, and Ein Sof is within me. This is the oimik of what it means, a yichud kudshei brichu shchinte, that which is removed, that which is moved, that which is beyond, that's called Ein Sof, and that's called kudshei brichu, and shchinte, which means hashreich and itim betoich tumosam, the part of myself which is finite and limited, and my midas and my understanding become one. And all of this comes through learning Kabbalah and learning Pnimis HaTorah with the perspective that what I'm learning is nothing but a emtsoi, but a vessel, but a kli, but a glove to allow me contact with that which I cannot understand. All the parts of all the spheres are still reflections of Ein Sof, that nothing's changed from before creation to after creation. And by studying these in Yonim, I'm a kusher. And it resonates within me that which is before creation. And I'm a kusher to Ein Sof like that. He goes on to say, this is what he says, this is what the Baal Shem Tov did. Loi timsa, he says, in all of Chassidus, loi timsa demyoinus, mishalim, b'drachav, you're not going to find explanations of what Pnimis HaTorah is. What are you going to find? What is Chassidus? It's an amazing lashon. If you have to say one sentence, what is Torah Baal Shem? He says, but Torah Baal Shem Tov is, Ella is one thing, which is, Yichudim, Ahava, Mesiris Nefesh, Hamtokas Dinim. That's it. Yichudim, Ahava, Mesiris Nefesh, Amtakas Dinim. All that by taking the finite world, which is based on the structure of the Partsufim, and saying that all they are nothing but vessels to Ein Sof. All they are extensions into Ein Sof. That's all they are. This is an Iker Klal by the Kamarna in all of his writings. In all of his writings, you see these two Nakudas. That number one, a few Nakudas. First of all, when the Kamarna enters into Pnimis HaTorah, and he talks about the deepest secrets of the universe, it's with absolute bittul, with absolute a sense of complete nothingness. Knowing that everything I'm saying, says the Kamarna, and all the Giluim that I'm revealing to you, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know where it's going. I have no hasag at all. I'm offer of Efer before I'm a gal of the side. I'm offer of Efer after I'm a gal of the side. Nothing's changed. Just like in reality, nothing's changed. Nothing in me has changed. I'm offer of Efer before, offer of Efer now. In the Kamarna, we find therefore also that the entirety of Pnimis HaTorah is always funneled in order to be Ma'ira Rachmim on Klal Yisrael, to take the Shechin out of Golas, to reveal the unbelievable depth of Nishmas Yisrael. The entirety of Pnimis HaTorah is to reveal Yichud Kutshibrichu Shchinte, to show how every Jew, as finite as that Jew is, and has their lives has brought them to more finite, the more finite, smaller, 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 smaller. The entirety of Pnimis HaTorah, the commander, is to reveal that as small as you go, you're infinite. Because that's what Pnimis HaTorah is by the Kamarna. The entirety of Pnimis HaTorah is just a vehicle through which our finite world becomes unified with Ein Sof, and Ein Sof becomes one with the finite. And so that reflects itself in Nishmas Yisrael as well. It's Kuli Ahava, Kuli Mesiris Nefesh, Kuli Yichudim, Kuli Hamtakas Adinim. The Kamarna therefore talks about this in many places. The Kamarna screams against learning Kabbalah for the purposes of becoming a Mokobel. He said, learning Kabbalah to become a Rebbe, a Rav, a Mokobel. He said, to him, that's like the worst, mamish, the worst. Because it's the opposite of what Pnimis HaTorah is supposed to be, which is Kula Yichudim and Ahava and Mesiris Nefesh and Bittul and Achnoah and Amtokas Adinim. All it is Yichud Kutshu Berchu Shchinte. Let's go back. What does it mean, Bizui Kodesh? What's Kodesh? In the Kabbalah and the Kisveri, Kodesh is a code word for anything that's connected to what's called Chachma. Chachma is Madrega of Kodesh. Kedusha means that which is separate. Chachma means that which is separate. Pnimis HaTorah is associated with Kedusha. Pnimis HaTorah is associated with Kedusha. That's why Pnimis HaTorah, you have to make a chanes, you have to become a little more holy, go to the mikveh, and so on and so forth. Kedusha, Kodesh, is always associated with Pnimis HaTorah. What does it mean that Chofni and Pinchas were violated Bizui Kodesh? And how does that, what's the root of that in its subtlety in Eli HaKohen himself? Bizui Kodesh, what did they do? They took more meat than they deserved, and they took it before the Mizbeach got its portion. In other words, that's an outward version of not appreciating what Pnimis HaTorah is. When you take Pnimis HaTorah, which are the Partsufim and the Olamos and so on, and you disconnect it, and you give it its own identity, you give it its own space, disconnecting it from the Ein Sof that it's coming from, and not hopping that its entire function is to bring you and to allow you to be absorbed into Ein Sof, then that's called Bizui Kodesh. Like I said before, because Pnimis HaTorah is in order to create that hiskashrus to Ein Sof, it has a perfect amount, not too much understood and not too little understood. That reflects itself in Hilchas Kodeshim, that the Kahanim get a certain amount, not more and not less. And they get it after the Mizbeach gets it. Because the entirety of Pnimis HaTorah, which is Kodeshim that the Kahanim are supposed to be getting, is just to be koil them in Shulchan Gevoya Kazachu. It's not their chelik. Their chelik that they're receiving is to be makasha them to the chelik of the Mizbeach. The inyan of Bizui Kodesh that manifested in Chofni and Pinchas is in its subtlety form is not chapping this nakuda of the Kamarna, which is that the entirety of Pnimis HaTorah is to function as just a point of contact with Ein Sof. And it can't be given too much substance in its own right. If you give it too much substance in its own right, then you're disconnecting it from it just being a way in which you're nichlal into Ein Sof. That itself is staring Shalom Bayis. Because the whole inyan of Pnimus HaTorah, the way the Kamaran understands, is that it's an exercise in Yichud Kedshebiruch Shchinte. Biyizui Kodesh is the opposite of Shalom Bayis. Both of these nekudas emerge in Chavni Pinchas' life in an outward way, but it's shoyrish, is this subtlety of not understanding what Pnimus HaTorah is, of thinking Partsuv Mitzvirus as like something, as like just like intellectual zachen, intellectual things that I can understand. More understanding. Then you want more chelik. You want more. It's going to you. And you're not becoming bottle into the Shulchan HaMizbeach through that study. It's just becoming your meat, more meat. I mean, the whole inyan is the opposite of what the Kamarna comes to in the world to be misakin. Let's understand more than that. The inyan of the Zakenim, Moshe Kibbutz HaMesina Mesarli Yeshua, Moshe and Yeshua ben Nun, is to a certain degree the Malchus of Yeshua ben Nun is a hemshech of the Malchus of Moshe. Just like the moon, the light of the moon ultimately is the light of the sun, just reflected in the moon. The Malchus of Moshe ben Nun is a Malchus of Ein Sof. It's a Malchus of Ein Sof, it's an infinite Malchus. We don't know where Moshe is buried, Moshe is everywhere. Moshe is Ein Sof. So Moshe and Yeshua means that place of Ein Sof. After Moshe and Yeshua, after Ein Sof, then what do you have? Then you have Zakenim. The Zakenim is Zakin, Zeshakana Chachma. That's Pnimius HaTorah. The entire Mahalach of the Tekuf of the Zakenim was a development of Pnimius HaTorah. But the function of Pnimius HaTorah is what? Is to be Kol Kulai, a vessel for the Malchus of Moshe and Yeshua. For the light of the sun. For the light of the sun, even as it's reflected in the moon. The Bechin of Ein Sof. So the Makkah B'Patish of the Tekuf of the Zakenim, who's Eli HaKoyen, after generations and generations of developing Chochma, which is Pnimius HaTorah, comes Eli HaKoyen to complete that, and the Gemar Shebe Gemar, is to then take all of that Chochma of the Zakenim and to reorient it as nothing but a vessel for the infinite light of Ein Sof. To not be Mevazeh Kodesh, and not the Shter Yichud Kedshei Baruch Hu Shchinteh. To realize that all of the Chachma of the Zakenim throughout all the hundreds of years of the Zakenim from Yeshua ben Nun is now going to be functioning as nothing more than a way in which we are going to be Makasher ourselves to the Shulchan Gavoya, to Arish al Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the light of Moshe Rabbeinu will become unified in this finite world that we've developed. And that's it should have been the completion of what Pnimius HaTorah is supposed to be. But as sometimes it is, Dafka, the thing which should have been the perfect Zach, becomes corrupted to be its opposite. So instead of Eli HaKoyin being Oymed on this Nakuda of the Kamarna, that Sisri Torah is nothing more than an Echetimsa to be Miskasha to Ein Sof, and therefore all I understand, my portion comes after the Shulchan Gavaya, and all I get is the Midah Mitzumsemes that I need to have in order to be Miskasha to Shulchan Gavaya. So there's a Begam, again, on his Madrega and Eli HaKoyin, and it manifests in his children, Chafni and Pinchas. And all of this takes place, and all of this, and the punishment comes in such a way where the Luchais and the Aron are separated. And because of that, Eli dies by his head, and the rest of his body, to a certain degree, becoming separated. It's because, what does the Luchais mean? The Luchais means Malchus of Ein Sof. The Aron means Pnimius HaTorah. The tachlis of Pnimius HaTorah is not to stand alone on its own two feet. It's supposed to be just a box in which you experience the luchas. The head is, what's the head? The head is Ein Sof. The head is all sorts of ideas. The body's limited. You could imagine yourself flying, but you can't because your arms aren't wings. So the disconnection between the head and the body is this disconnection between Pnimius HaTorah and Ein Sof. But all of this, the commander comes to fix. The Kamarna, who is a reemergence of Eli HaKoyen, and his entire inyan is to study Pnimius HaTorah, through which one becomes unified to Ein Sof, knowing that I don't understand anything. And my entire purpose is in order to bring the world to a state of Yichud Kedshei Baruch Hu Shchinteh, and to be Mamtik Dinim, and to be Meisr Nefesh, and to bring Ahavas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and to become more nothing, and more nothing, and more nothing, through my Limud. That itself is a tikkun of what Eli was missing, which is what the Gemar of the Zakenim should have been. Now the truth is, even though Eli HaKoyen was missing that, but the truth is he wasn't, because Lamaisa Eli HaKoyen gave a Shmuel HaNovi. And Shmuel HaNavi is the one Jew who shokel keneged Moshe and Aaron. So even though Eli HaKohen should have been the one to bring us back to then reorient the entire infrastructure of the Zekanim to be just a house for Oirei Shel Moshe and Oirei Shel Yeshua, even though it might not have seemed that he did that, and Adrab, it seems that the Luchos were separated from the Aaron, and Mishkan Shiloh fell apart, and there was Bizei Kodesh, it was a shtering of Shalom Bayis, and it only took years later by the Kamaran to be misakin it. But the truth is, even then there was a tikkun, because Lamaisa, Eli HaKohen produced the Shmuel HaNavi, and Shmuel HaNavi was the one that anointed Shaul HaMelech, and he anointed David HaMelech. And Malchus of David HaMelech means the Malchus of Finet. It means the Shechina. That's what Malchus means. And the one that anointed, the one that establishes Malchus, is what? Is someone who's Shokul Keneged Moshe and Aaron. It means that the side of Shmuel HaNavi, that Eli HaKohen is Mechanech, that Eli HaKohen was his Rebbe. So Shmuel HaNavi means to create a Malchus, to establish a Malchus, that the entirety of the Malchus is rooted in the fact that it was anointed by someone who was Moshe and Aaron. So ultimately, Eli HaKohen was successful. Just the Kamara brings it out. The Kamara brings it out. But ultimately, that's what's going on. Let's go back to the very beginning. So the last Torah that the Kamara taught was the Zohar Kaddish of Rav Lach. The Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu is around, but yet it's not around. It is around Rav Lach. It's so expansive. It's mamish ain't soif, but yet it's not around because we need Moshe Rabbeinu to move away so we can have a finite world. So I don't understand. Is it ain't safe or is it finite? The answer is that's exactly the point. It's both at the same time. That's the Pnimis HaTorah according to the Kamar. That's his whole Inyan. That's his whole Inyan of Yichud Kodesh Baruch Shechinteh. To show how every single Jew, as finite and as small and as katnus, as shebekatnus that a Jew can get, in that katnus is ain't safe. In that katnus is ain't safe. And this is the great secret of the Kamar, that everything is elikus, not just elikus. Everything is ain't soif mamish, and the smaller you get, the more amazing how ain't soif can fit there. But it does, and that's the chiddush of the Kamarna, and therefore the entire study of Pnimius HaTorah, the entire inyan of Avodas Hashem, is nothing to do about with what we can masik. It's all about this nekuda of creating, of turning everything into vessels for Ein Sof. That's all it is. Which itself is a Yichud HaKodesh Baruch Hu Shechinteh, and that itself is not being Mevazah Kodesh, but Adarabah, taking Kodesh, taking Kabbalah, and seeing it as an Emtsoi in which a person experiences Ein Sof itself with more Bittel and more Ofer Ve'efer. No, the Rabbanu Shem should help us in the Schus of the Tzaddik. In the Schus of the Tzaddik, we should talk of Yizaycha, just like if he brought back that light and was Masak in the Indian of Eli HaKohen. So Taka, we should all be Zaycha to the brachas of the Kahanim Gedolim of Yevrechacha and Yoyer and Yisa, all the three yuds which are the name of the Kamar, of the Halakha Kamarna. We should be Zaycha to all that bracha that comes via Hava, like he said, when a person connected to the Kamarna, connected to the Taras of Baal Shem Tov and the Kisveri in the way of the Kamarna. Then a person is zeicher, like he said, to yichudim and ahav and mesiris nefesh and amtakas adinim, through us getting together and letting me talk, you know, for a little bit longer than I probably should have. We should all be zeicher to taka all the hamtakas adinim, and all the dinim should be nishapich mamish to shaluv and deruchimu, to unbelievable islavus and chamimus and warmth and for bringing together with yidden. The Seich Klal Yisrael, we should zeicher to all those Yichudim and the Ahav and the Amtakas Adinim that come with that. Be'ez Kol Tzad Barachim and the Erev Meir Amen.